All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Huger, John Iadarola. I feel like today I'm sitting further away from you.
Yeah, I was oddly shifted over.
And so was I.
I felt
it's okay.
Weird.
It's okay.
Now I feel good.
John, I just want to be closer to you. That's all.
Hey, Jake, what story should we do next?
Okay. So, are you going to do a Pied Piper segment today?
Oh, I am.
Okay, great.
It's a fun one this time, too.
And
it's not what he just said, so I don't know why I agreed to it.
Okay. We are having a poll on my nickname. That came up last night in the post game. That was for the members. I'll open it up now. I was talking to a reporter, and I realized that I started Wolfpack and Just Democrats, so I have two packs. So I'm now Cenk Tupac Huger, and we're having a poll as to whether that's cool or uncool. All these people in here threw me under the bus claiming it's uncool when we all know that it is. So vote on that, tytnetwork.com/nickname. tytnetwork.com/nickname. The important results of that very important poll later.
A follow-up poll that we need to have is if at some point it becomes clear that there's another thing that needs to be done to fix our democracy and Cenk has an opportunity to form an organization to do it, will he form that third pack or not do it so as to not lose his nickname?
Or will I have to form four new packs to get the new nickname of six pack?
Okay, we're going to work on that.
Okay, trust me that will not happen.
A lot of presidential candidates could probably be called six pack, actually.
Okay, there are, as usual, 1,000 fascinating stories today, including, of course, the Jeff Sessions one we're about to do in a second. My particular favorite is the CNN anchors finding out that they have been lied to by the Trump administration, and they are shocked and chagrined.
Yeah.
I love that story. Yes, but they admitted it, so that was it's really interesting. That's later in the program.
If you can't trust someone who calls you the enemy of the American people, who can you trust?
Good question.
Okay,
all right, let's get started.
Let's start off with just a couple fast things. Again, we can't go into super detail on these, but it was revealed today that Cory Booker is actually now joining Bernie Sanders on a new version of his drug importation bill. The new version has a number of additional safety regulations that Booker says is the reason that he is now on board. And because of him joining and two others who weren't down with Bernie the first time around, it might actually pass this time. But a lot of people are saying the reason he's signing on is less to do with the safety stuff and more to do with the political pressure. So I decided to ask you, my Twitter audience. So we put up this poll with three options. Was it political pressure, added safety standards, or simply the effect of opposite Thursdays? And we got some results, like 800 votes, I think, in the next one, if you could go ahead. People are not buying that he just wanted the safety standards. It lost out to opposite Thursdays. But people think it's the political pressure.
Which, by the way, is terrific news, because that means you're getting to them. So keep on putting political pressure, and that's how we will get to progressive priorities.
Exactly, yeah. And look, this is a better bill, and it might actually pass now. And at the end of the day, look, Cory Booker, whether he's being pragmatic or a little bit cowardly or whatever, as long as he votes the right way, that at the end of the day is really what matters, and I hope that they can pass the bill. Next, Harley Davidson, who Trump cited as a company that would especially benefit when he establishes new tariffs to help American businesses. Turns out they wrote a letter a month ago specifically warning about damage to their business that would come about as the result of any tariffs being established. And they're supposed to be one of the perfect cases. They're like, no, don't do it. You're going to wreck us. We're trying to compete abroad. And I've been calling this for a year now. He does not understand how tariffs work or internationally how they're responded to.
Yeah. And so Harley Davidson basically saying, don't go hog wild with tariffs.
Mm. Anyway, Jesus. Okay, next, the White House is apparently considering giving additional authority to generals to launch time-sensitive strikes, taking Trump out of the picture. He will not then have to sign off on them individually. They say it's because Obama would wait too long, weighing the pros and cons, and it slowed things down, which could be true, or this could be Trump's way of never having to take responsibility for a bad raid ever again. Hey, I didn't sign off on it. It was them damn generals who were also the most respected generals ever, I hear.
Yes. It's a classic Trump move to avoid responsibility. If things go well, it was me. Hello, I'm the president. The buck stops here. You know what I'm saying? If it's credit. But if something went wrong, it was the guy before me. It was the generals.
Yeah.
It was someone else. It wasn't me.
There was a bird outside the window. It was probably him.
Squirrel.
It's squirrel. And finally, and this is amazing, this is scary forecast time. Chicago apparently recorded no snow on the ground in January or February of this year. That is the first time in 146 years that that has happened. That's horrifying. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't any snow even for a second. They measured at particular times, blah, blah, blah. But we're talking about averages here, and that is amazing. They've never seen it before in Chicago.
Well, on the other hand, there were snowballs somewhere still left on the planet. Hence, it obviously is not warming everywhere, John.
Yeah.
How could it be warm if there's igloos? Hello, somewhere.
Inhofe responded saying, I wasn't in Chicago, thus climate change can't be real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But with that said, we can go on to the big story of the day. We weighed whether we would cover this or not, and I guess we'll do it for a little bit. Late last night, it was revealed that Attorney General Jeff Sessions might have perjured himself during his nomination hearings by concealing multiple meetings that took place between himself and the Russian ambassador during the course of the last presidential campaign. One of the meetings was a private conversation between Sessions and Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak that took place in September in the senator's office. Seems like something you might remember. 2 months before the September meeting, Sessions attended a Heritage Foundation event in July on the sidelines of the Republican National Convention that was attended by about 50 ambassadors. When the event was over, a small group of those ambassadors approached Sessions as he was leaving the podium. Kislyak was among them, according to the Justice Department. Sessions then spoke individually to some of the ambassadors, including Kislyak, so it was an individual meeting as well. In the informal exchanges, the ambassadors expressed appreciation for his remarks, and some of them invited him to events they were sponsoring, according to the official. Now, in response to this, the Russian ambassador did not respond to requests for comment. Also, the Washington Post, which was one of the sources that broke the story, contacted all of the other members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which, of course, Sessions served on. Of the 20 lawmakers who responded, every one of them, including Chairman John McCain, said that they had not met with the Russian ambassador last year. Although we shouldn't be surprised, especially at the RNC meeting, he is one of the most high-profile Trump surrogates, and so it makes sense that then the Russian ambassador, or other ambassadors as well, would want to meet with him.
So that last piece of context is very important, because if it turns out that 50 ambassadors are swarming everybody and this is fairly normal, okay, well, then it's an individual meeting with the Russian ambassador. You probably remember that. But then there's the one at your office. But what if the guys that are in the, on that committee are having meetings all the time with the Russian ambassador, and McCain had three, and somebody else had four? Okay, that would be super important context. No, it turns out none of the people who responded on that committee, 20 out of the 26, said we had no meetings at all, and they gave further context.
Including the
on
chairman.
That. Yeah, further context on that is that we were in the middle of an election, and it's not like we're meeting with the British ambassador about friendly terms or yada yada. We're in the middle of an election. There were already some allegations that the Russians were meddling in the election. That would have been weird, and it certainly would have been memorable.
Yeah, especially the second meeting, the later one that happened in Sessions' office, that was during the height of public discussion about whether there could be some sort of meddling in some form. Whether you think the meddling happened or not, it was in the political atmosphere at that point. And so, of course, Sessions is aware of that as a high-profile surrogate for the Trump campaign. Now, the actual meetings, of course, whether they happen commonly or not, are totally legal and might even be appropriate in most cases. That's not the problem. The problem is that during his nomination hearings, in two cases, it appears that he lied to conceal those meetings. Let's roll video one. You're going to see the first instance of that.
And if there is any evidence that anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign communicated with the Russian government in the course of this campaign, what will you do?
Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it.
Now, that's very important. What he said there is, I did not have communications with the comments. In later videos we're going to show you, he is going to attempt to change the question he was asked and change his response to it. But he was very clear there. I did not have communications. Now, he also tried to deny that he was a surrogate. I mean, look, Google Sessions surrogate and stop it at about December of last year. It's a million sources.
No,
he's a surrogate, okay?
That's not a question. I actually think that what he was trying to do there inartfully is set up the excuse he's about to that he unleashed now once he's caught red-handed. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to say, I was a surrogate for the Trump administration, and that's what they called me, but I did not have any contact with the Russian officials in that context.
But he didn't say that.
But he did it inartfully, because that's the lawyerly thing you say so you can later say, yes, I wasn't lying, because he knows he had contact with the Russians. But he screwed up. He didn't say in that context. He said, I guess they called me a surrogate, and I did not have any contacts with the Russians, period.
Yeah.
So that's a lie. That's an unquestionable lie.
Yeah, you could have wrapped it up at the end, but the way he did it, it doesn't matter. It could have been, they say my pants are too tight, but I didn't have contact with the Russians. We don't care about the pants anymore. You said you didn't contact the Russians, and it turns out that you did. Now, that was only one of two cases. There was also a written question. In January, Patrick Leahy, the Democratic senator, asked Sessions for answers to written questions, one of which included this text. Several of the president-elect's nominees or senior advisors have Russian ties. Have you been in contact with anyone connected to any part of the Russian government about the 2016 election, either before or after Election Day? Leahy wrote. Sessions responded with one word, no. Now, in that case, he is going to attempt to say that his meetings with the Russian ambassador did not concern the campaign. I would have probably expanded my answer and provided some context rather than simply saying no, which seems like a blanket assertion that, of course, I didn't have any contact with them. But that is the tack that he's going to take.
It's not a close call. So his main excuse is, you meant, did I meet with them? Yeah, I met with them. I just met with them as a senator and not as a Trump surrogate. Okay, mm-hmm. But that wasn't the question. I didn't ask you if you met with them as a senator or a surrogate or whatever the hell other role you thought you were playing in your mind, right? Oh, no, this morning when I came in, I was playing a caddy. Or I was playing a doctor. Mm-hmm. I was playing doctor in my head. I met them with them as a doctor because that was what was good. I don't care. My question was, did you meet with the Russians? And your unequivocal answer was, no, I did not meet with the Russians. That is 100% untrue. So hence, we have perjury.
Exactly. Now, that, of course, is a crime. Theoretically, if it is pursued and prosecuted, he could go to jail for literally for years for this. It seems at this point that that's unlikely, but nothing is impossible. And we're going to go on to further developments today on this story. What strikes me about this is, as with other cases, what was actually done so far as we know, is not a big deal. But it's the ridiculous lengths that they will go to hide their contact with Russian officials. Not just in his case, but of course Manafort had his weird thing. We can go back to that at some point. You had Flynn pretending he hadn't talked about things he had talked about. And Sessions lying to conceal meetings that are totally legal to have. That's what's bizarre at this point. And when you consider the massive shift in rhetoric for Sessions personally about Russia, that he used to do before he signed on to Trump's campaign, and what you hear from him coming out of that RNC after he met with the Russian ambassador, it starts to seem even more bizarre.
So I want to be clear that we should have an investigation, obviously not led by one of the conspirators, mm-hmm. who is now the attorney general. We'll, of course, get to that conclusion in a second. Because we don't know exactly what their intent was, and we don't know why they lied about it, both Flynn and Sessions. But we do know that they did actively cover it up, thereby leading to the common sense conclusion that they were trying to hide something. Mm-hmm. They were embarrassed about those meetings. Something happened at those meetings that they didn't want anybody else to find out about. And they would risk perjury, and hence their careers, etc., to make sure you did not find out that they met with the Russians.
Yeah.
So now Flynn is gone. His career is gone because mm-hmm. he lied about that when he could have been honest about it and maybe saved his career. So what in God's green earth were they talking about that they desperately didn't want anybody to find out at the risk of their careers and in this case possibly even a criminal indictment?
Yeah.
And that's a very fair question. And that's what needs to be investigated.
It's like they say, in some cases, especially in politics, the cover-up can be worse than the actual crime. And so I would say if you are a member of Trump's administration, protect yourself and Trump. If you had some weird contact, come clean about it now rather than letting a member of the intelligence community leak it or having the Washington Post or the New York Times investigate it. Now, there might not be any more, But we did find out today, so far seems fully legal, but in addition to Flynn meeting with the Russian ambassador back in December, apparently Jared Kushner was involved in that meeting as well. Now, we have no reason at present to believe that anything illicit was discussed or any laws were broken, but by tomorrow we might find out about it. So I would say maybe they should put all their cards on the table before it becomes a major scandal for them.
And I would say one more common sense thing. Guys, you know, there's that saying that John just told you, that the cover-up is sometimes worse than the crime. No, but there's a reason what they're covering up. So meeting with the Russian ambassador is not a crime. But you're not covering it up for no reason. What happened in that meeting might be worse than the cover-up. That's why you covered it up.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, the reason that Nixon got in all that trouble was the cover-up of Watergate. But the reason he covered it up is because it's really bad when you break into the other political party's offices and steal their stuff. That'll get you impeached. That's why they bothered to cover it up.
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess the cover-up is worse than the crime, but honesty might well be worse than the cover-up, I guess. Okay, so let's go on to today. Let's catch up now. Today, Jeff Sessions held a press conference to announce what he is going to do in response to the storm of scandal around him over his hidden meetings with the Russian ambassador. And so we're going to have some video for you in that. In this first one, let's listen to him explain the next step.
If a specific matter arose where I believed my impartiality might reasonably be questioned, I would consult with the department ethics officials regarding the most appropriate way to proceed, close quote. That's what I told them at the confirmation hearing. I have now decided to recuse myself from any existing or future investigations of any matter relating in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States. I went on to say this announcement should not be interpreted as confirmation of the existence of any investigation or suggestive of the scope of any such investigation.
There you go. Now, we want to be very careful with his language there because it is interesting. And as Cenk has pointed out before, there's like a lawyerly sort of thing to it. So both in that quote there, and I'm going to read it for you here, take note of what he says and what he doesn't say. He says, I have decided to recuse myself from any existing or future investigations of any matters related in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States. So that is a recusal, but it is not a recusal from anything having to do with the Trump administration and Russian officials or Russian businessmen or anything like that. Anything having to do with the campaign for president. And so that is something, and you might consider that progress, but there's a lot of stuff he could get involved in that he could argue, I never said I was going to recuse myself from these things.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. So they've set themselves up in a weird situation here. They might have totally misplayed this. Let me explain. So right now, since he recused himself on those particular investigations, there's the acting deputy attorney general who steps in, who turns out to be an Obama appointee. Okay, so he's now leading the investigation. Well, that might be good enough right there. Let's see how long that lasts. But Democrats are calling for a special investigator, right? And the person who would normally have appointed that is Jeff Sessions. But the independent investigator would now presumably be appointed by the Obama appointee, the deputy acting attorney general, right? So he might have been better off doing a special counselor to investigate this matter while while he could choose it before he recused himself. Yeah. Now, they don't want that because they think, oh my God, once you get somebody like that in, it's like Ken Starr, they'll come in and they'll you know, dig up everything. Yeah, maybe, but then you could have picked the guy. Now it looks like the Obama appointee is either going to head the investigation or pick the person who does.
So assuming they go by the rules.
Right, again, so assuming that he's going to stick by this and not do the lawyerly tricks that John is talking about.
Yeah. So we've been talking a little bit about how Sessions is going to try to avoid any further repercussions for what's happened. And there's been a few different strategies. You can see the timeline online. There's a lot of good sources breaking that down. But we saw live the difficulty that Sessions is personally experiencing in figuring out how he's going to address this. And so JR put together a mashup of how he is going to attempt to use the fact that he apparently has the worst memory of any human being alive, and that is going to be his defense. You're going to see it on display in this clip.
apparently sent a staffer to my office. I did not see him. I started off by saying I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember saying I had gone to Russia. I don't recall, but I don't recall any specific.
Do you recall meeting with Ambassador Kislyak any other times?
I don't recall having met him. I don't recall, and don't have a sense of it, but I don't recall having met him.
Have you met with any other Russian officials or folks connected to the Russian government since you endorsed Donald Trump?
I don't believe so. We meet a lot of people, so. Thank you all. Take care.
And he's out.
Okay, so those meetings, one of them happened in the middle of the summer, the other one happened in September. I've had a lot of meetings, business meetings, political meetings, since September. So I might not recall the specifics of a particular meeting in the middle of September. I might not even remember a person I met with for a second, right? But if you said to me, hey, Cheng, you remember in September you met with this guy and gave me his name and his face, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, of course, I met with him, right? And do you remember generally what you guys talked about? Of course, because we're human beings, and unless we have some sort of clinical problem with our memory, September of last year is not that long ago. Of course you remember it, especially if it was a Russian ambassador.
At that particular time.
Right.
Okay, you don't remember the Bolivian ambassador. Fine, nothing against Bolivia. But Bolivia did not have an international scandal going on directly related to the campaign that you're a surrogate for. There's only one country that did have that. I think that you'd remember it.
Yeah, so any time you see these politicians say, I don't recall 20 times in a row, they're in a world of trouble. Because that's the lawyerly answer to, I mean, if you got evidence on it, I guess I'll have to admit it later. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm not positive you have the evidence on it. So I won't say I didn't do it. I'll just say, I don't remember, man. What was it? I met with the Russian ambassador. We talked about the business deal he made with Trump. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Now, you get all of these really weird moments with the Trump administration where either it's, you know, seventh dimensional chess or it's a lack of communication between different arms of the administration. But we know that there was the talk of the full confidence for Michael Flynn right before he resigned from his position. We're going to have a little bit of video for you on that. And so the question of whether he would recuse himself was all over the place today. And so Sean Spicer comes out early this morning and says, there's nothing to recuse himself from, and anyone who calls for it should be ashamed. Then you also had Trump weighing in, and he said this.
Did Sessions recuse himself from investigations into your campaign in Russia?
I don't think so at all.
When did you first learn that Sessions spoke to the Russian ambassador? Did you know during
the
campaign?
I don't think he should do that.
When were you aware that he spoke to the Russian ambassador?
I wasn't aware.
When did you find out?
You should have spoken truthfully about whether he had spoken to the ambassador.
I think he probably did.
So that's the press secretary for the president and the president apparently on a completely different page than their attorney general within just a couple of hours of him recusing himself.
Well, so let's go over the mess that they have here. They're not winning with this. This is a mess. Sessions says that the charges are, quote, unbelievable and, quote, false. Then he comes out and says, yeah, I just kidding, I'm recusing myself. Okay. Trump, when asked at the very end of that clip, do you think he was truthful during the confirmation hearings, whether he told the truth? And he said, he probably did. Okay, all right, interesting. But to me, the worst one was Sean Spicer. His interview with Fox News, where he's going to rip into people asking Sessions to recuse himself, is going to air tomorrow. So that's how badly they miscommunicated. Now, because they're bumblers. What did I tell you? Number one thing about Trump is not the hateful stuff, it's his incompetence. He couldn't manage his way out of a paper bag, I told you 1,000 times. So here they are with absolutely will not recuse you. Shame.
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 Okay. And then it's right after she says that, and the actual guy comes, pops out and goes, no, not shame, I'm recusing myself. Come on, it's incompetence. They don't know what they're doing.
It's like Trump comes out and says Sessions has done nothing wrong, as Sessions is already halfway across King's Landing with bloody feet. Like, dude, catch up, man. The wheels of the government are turning.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've got the little bit of an update there. I don't know what's going to end up coming out of the Kushner and Flynn stuff, but it's a complicated thing. And I know one of the things that Spicer is apparently going to say tomorrow now, but we already know what he said, is it's just the Democrats, they're just trying to find this stuff. Man, we do production meetings here, and a bunch of people come with different stories, and we don't spend like an hour trying to find anything about Russia. You can't go a week without some ridiculous thing. It's not like I got involved in his transition team and said, you should surround yourself with people who all have these weird, bizarre ties to Russia. We don't want it. We're not looking for it. You guys keep dishing it up. I know some people think that the first job of a journalist at this point is to not discuss any story that involves Russia, even tangentially. But stuff is happening, laws are being broken, and we're going to investigate it, okay? We're the cop on the beat at this point.
Okay, I want to do something a little separate here for a second, okay? So today, as Jeff Sessions recuses himself from the Russian investigations of Trump, I'm going to say this again because I don't think people are getting it. Now, look. This is, on the show, we show you guys facts and then we do analysis of it. So the facts in this case are Sessions has stepped down for talking to the Russian ambassador. Michael Flynn talked to the Russian ambassador five times on the day that the sanctions were imposed, additional sanctions by Obama during the period of the transition. And now Mike Flynn has stepped down. Now we find out Kushner has done the talks with the Russians. And what do the Russians mainly want? They want the sanctions lifted, and because it affected a $500 billion deal with ExxonMobil. The ExxonMobil becomes the Secretary of State. This is all. Okay, those are the facts. Now, let me tell you what I think happened, and then you will see later that this is true, if I'm right. He did a business deal with Russia, a deal where he gets paid. Tick-tock. I thought in the beginning when he first came in, I'm like, I don't know. There's no way he's getting reelected. I said that from day one. I said Elizabeth Warren or anyone else would landslide him in 2020. That is an issue of policy, demographics, his incompetence, etc. That's a separate issue. But I said on day one, I didn't know if he was going to go the whole 4 years. I assumed he would. And then as I saw one mistake after another in the Russia story developing a little bit, I thought, oh my God, I think he's only going to last a year and a half. Now I'm moving the clock even further. He might not last 6 months because he did a deal with the Russians. I'm not talking about a deal that people have loosely in their heads here where it's like, oh, I guess the Russians helped me win the election a little bit by doing some propaganda and they leaked the emails. And that's helpful to me. And then later I'll think about lifting the sanctions. And
something,
you know,
vague.
Yeah, I won't say that, right? But you know how this is going to go. I become president, you get the sanctions lifted, everybody's happy. And you could keep that perfectly vague and totally get away with it. That is not, my guess is, that is not what happened. No, Trump didn't ever really care that much about being president other than winning. I'm going to be winning, right? The number one thing almost only thing he cares about is money. Money. He did a business deal with the Russians. You give me money, you give me a portion of the oil contracts, then I lift the sanctions for you guys. So when I lift the sanctions, I Donald J. Trump, make money. That's the deal he did. Now, the reason why people don't believe that, first of all, it's fair to say at this point there's not enough evidence on that. No question. They need to do the investigations. You can't just go on my hunch.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, yeah. Right? So, but they should thoroughly investigate. But the reason people think it is not plausible is because they think, who could be that stupid? Well, if the money comes to you at some point, or you have a percentage of an oil company, well, of course the FBI or intelligence officials are going to know that or figure that out. And who would be brazen enough to want to do a business deal like that when you're already president?
Yeah.
Because you're making two critical mistakes in your assumptions. One, you think, if I was president, that'd be plenty good enough. No, for Trump, it's never good enough. The greed is endless, and it's all about the money. So his priority is, how do I turn the presidency into more money? The Russians come along and say, I'll give you billions of dollars in a percentage of an oil company if you lift the sanctions, because I'm going to make $500 billion once you lift those sanctions. He thinks, now that's the art of the deal. Yes, I want the money. So you're underestimating how much he wants the money. The second and most important part is, you're underestimating how stupid he is. Now, I'm not kidding. Like, people think, oh, no, no, he made all this money, he must be smart. To this point, he's lost in the polling almost every category. They don't trust them, they don't this, that, they've lost faith in him, yada, yada. But the two categories he still wins on is he's strong, which I'll give him, okay? Strong in a lot of wrong ways, but and they think he's smart. No, he's not smart. His daddy left him $200 million, and he's bungled it ever since. That's why he needs to make deals like this, because he doesn't have that much money. Okay, I don't care if you believe me on that, okay? What I'm telling you right now, ahead of time, is his stupidity is record-breaking. I know. I studied all of his business deals because of this damn campaign. I know how incompetent he is. I know what a loser he is. And so he is stupid enough to think, I do a business deal with Russia where I get billions of dollars, and nobody will find out. Hey, listen, man, I didn't release my taxes, and I didn't get caught.
That's true.
I did Trump University, an obvious freaking scam, and I won the presidency anyway. Look at all the things I've cheated on my whole life, and I'm president. I'm above the law. I'm not going to get caught. Yes, he's that stupid. So he will eventually get caught because, no, you can't hide that indefinitely from the FBI, especially if it turns out everybody on your transition team, your campaign team, went and, like, knuckleheads, like, hey, Russian ambassador, over here, right? And, yeah. And by the way, a little ending side note here, six Russian ambassadors have mysteriously died or been killed since Election Day, including one on Election Day, including a guy who was declared dead in the back of his car, and declared killed, and then they switched it to, oh no, he had a heart attack. Why was he sitting in the back of his car having a heart attack? I mean, if you look into all the six different deaths of those Russian ambassadors, mysterious illness, never mind, I meant heart attack. Another one, blunt force injury. No, I meant heart attack. Okay, the Russian consul is saying that. Six Russian ambassadors dead since November? There are no coincidences like that. They made a deal. He's gone. He's gone.
I don't know anything about that part. Okay. I know about a couple of them. I mean, we would have to then have a theory for who is then killing them and why, which isn't immediately clear to me. But it is a startling number.
Okay, it's super clear to me. Look, I don't know exactly why he's killing them, and of course you have to prove all this out. Again, my speculation is lovely, and I do that based on logic and facts we already have in front of us. But I don't have secret evidence, okay? So you have to actually get the evidence.
Yeah.
But in the case of the Russian ambassador, so we don't know for a fact, of course, who killed them, why they were killed. Maybe it's because they knew the deal, or maybe because they leaked to FBI investigators. Like, one of them is considered, was an ex-KGB guy, considered a source for the guy, the British agent who wrote the dossier. So it might be that they were killed because they leaked. But I know who killed him.
A lot of people think that the cybersecurity guy that was pulled out of the meeting might have been for that same reason.
The guy who killed him or ordered their deaths is obviously Putin. Obviously. Who else is going around killing Russian ambassadors? And who would have the power and the ability to go into inside Russian consulates? Two of the killings happened in Moscow. Who else is going to do that? No, it's obvious. And Putin has done it before. Anyway, all right. Anyway, I've over-speculated.
Thankfully, the investigation will continue, both on the political side, but also, thankfully, the journalists who are, as we speak, finding out more about these deals which we haven't even covered yet on the show, like the Fertilizer King or the Commerce Secretary's connection to a Russian oligarch. Like, there's a lot of stuff we're going to be getting into that we haven't just yet. But those will be ongoing. Unfortunately, they're facing the Republicans voted not to release the Department of Justice's findings currently when supposedly we just all want to see the evidence, right? Well, the Republicans are trying to block that. And the weird strain of denialism that's going around among some journalists. But thankfully, regardless of both of those, the investigations will continue.
Okay, I'm going to say one last thing. Give us more journalists and we'll uncover it. Okay, for now, this is just my speculation. Okay, there's a couple of guys I want to hire. And what? Washington Post got reporters, they find out that Sessions had these meetings. New York Times' reporters, they find out that the Obama administration had, right before they left, was giving out all the intelligence on Russia to all the different parts of the government so that the Trump guys couldn't shred them once they came in, right? So we have reporters, we'll get more reporters, and we'll get on it.
Hopefully.
Couldn't you imagine if we uncovered it? You think we can't do it? All right, let's see what happens. TYTNetwork.com/go. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm telling you.
Briefest possible commentary on the White House spreading that stuff. So a lot of people are like incensed by that. I wish the Obama administration had done that for a lot of other types of data. Data having to do with climate change, the LGBT community. There was all this stuff that was deleted. I wish they'd done more of that. Anyway, really fast, let's wrap up the Sessions stuff. So as of today, Sessions has recused himself from a limited portion of investigations of Trump involvement with Russia and all of that. But of course, he's still in the position as Attorney General. Now, this is a new reason to oppose him having that position. We've laid out many good ones for you over the past couple of months, but a lot of people are calling for him to step down. The sort of standard bearer ideologically for the Democratic Party right now has joined that group. Bernie Sanders put this statement out today. We need a Justice Department that will give us the facts about Russia's involvement in the 2016 election and their ties to the Trump campaign, not one led by someone who deliberately misled Congress about his own communications with the Russian government. We also must find out what President Trump knew about meetings involving his campaign and the Russians. Attorney General Sessions should resign, and a special prosecutor should be appointed to give the American people credible answers about Russia's involvement in the U.S. election. So some people will perhaps say, and there was tons of Democrats calling for him to recuse himself. There were some Republicans, to their credit, also calling for Sessions to recuse himself. But many are not stopping there, saying he must now step down from his position as Attorney General. And of course, some will be pursuing legal consequences for his perjury.
Yes. Politicians don't take a middle step if they're not worried about the end step. Mm-hmm. So he does the recusal so he doesn't have to step down. That means he thought, there's some chance I'm going completely down for this. Like that, yeah. I won't be Attorney General anymore and my career will be completely ruined. I recuse myself. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. I recuse myself. Yeah. Now, most of the time that doesn't work because then the other side goes, see, there's something wrong. And we need to investigate it further.
It's blood in the water, basically.
Yeah. So now, in how it would go normally is the media would continue to cover it, and then there'd be pressure built up on the administration. In this case, I believe the media will continue to cover it, but there might come a point where Trump goes, I don't care how much pressure there is. I don't care about the media. I'm just going to call them cheaters and fake news.
Yeah.
And so, no. Sessions, you know what happened, and I know what happened with the Russian ambassador. So you're not going anywhere. I don't need a new attorney general that doesn't know the deal.
Mm. Okay, I know that we have to go to our break, and we will in just 1 second. If you could get ready with video 6, though, this is an extremely short video. It came out in July of last year. This is Paul Manafort, who, of course, had his own problems. A weird, bizarre tale about Ukraine and Vladimir Putin and all that. But I saw this spread around on Twitter, and it reminded me of Sessions sort of stumbling over his memory. But look at how Paul Manafort responds to a question about these sorts of communications and deals.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's obviously what our position is.
I need a good response. That's what my dog said. They said, I heard somebody said, you talking about practice?
Playoffs?
Right. Ridiculous. Do you want to go to that before the break or?
Yeah, let's just do it right now.
Okay, so should Jeff Sessions actually resign? How serious is this sort of lying in front of Congress? Let's go to an expert on this sort of lying. A young man, this is going to be video 2, by the way. A man named, it's Jeff Sessions.
As a former federal prosecutor for 12 years, attorney general for 2 years, I know and believe very deeply in the rule of law and the fact that honest and testimony is required if we're to have justice in America. The fact is that we're dealing and wrestling with allegations that suggest perjury or obstruction of justice. The president has a full and should be given a full opportunity to respond to that. But fundamentally, we're going to have to wrestle with that, and that issue will not go away. I believe there is such a thing as truth. I believe there is right and wrong. I believe our universe is ordered in that way. And when we lie, people are hurt. It always so, and it always will be so. And it demeans our justice system to have untruth spoken. And that's, I think, the thing that's most troubling about this entire affair. And I hope we are not lowering the bar with regard to high standards of honesty and integrity demanded of public officials. People see things differently just because than just what party you belong to. I am concerned about a president under oath being alleged to have committed perjury.
So let's get this right. Jeff Sessions asked very clearly by Senator Franken in his confirmation hearings, did you have contact with the Russians? Said, I did not have communications with the Russians. We now know that he had two separate communications with the Russian ambassador, flat out lie, incontrovertible. In another instance, Senator Pat Leahy, with a written question saying any contacts with the Russians in any way, shape, or form, he said no. So incontrovertible lie, perjury. Yeah. So let's be fair, though. Let's use the Sessions standard. The Sessions standard is don't lower the bar for public officials and let them get away with any kind of lie. This issue, he said, will not go away. So agreed, Jeff Sessions. It should not go away, and perjury in front of Congress like that is unacceptable and should, as you rightly stated, immediately should lead to resignation.
And in terms of the consequences, it's not just for Sessions. I mean, we're talking about the integrity of these hearings going forward. If he can get away with clearly lying about something, a verifiable fact, why should any nominee tell the truth in the future? What is the point of it when you can tell convenient lies, and then if it turns out you lied, hell, I'm already in office. We've got power. What are you going to do about it? This is about the future of a very important check on the president's ability to put into office people who might be trying to deceive the American public.
And back then they said, oh, this isn't about the affair Bill Clinton had. Oh, golly gee, no, it's not about that. and we were investigating Whitewater, but there was nothing in Whitewater, so we just made, and then we found an affair because we just kept digging and digging. But even that's not a big deal. But he lied. He lied. And that is, we cannot lower that bar. Yeah. He has to resign immediately. Well, Jeff, I don't know what you said to the Russian ambassador, but I do know you lied.
I didn't even know that Kathy Bates was so vocal about these hearings.
You got to go, son. You got to go.
Okay.
Okay.
Break time?
Right. Yes, we got to take a break. We do have other news, believe it or not. And we'll be right back with that. All right, back on the Young Turks. we just heard an amazing story from John. Anyway, maybe we'll do it in the postgame. All right, donors to the Journalism Drive, $3 from Ingrid in Norway. Thank you, Ingrid, all the way from Norway. Yeah, thank you, man. $27 from Terry in Netherlands. Fantastic. And Doris from Wisconsin, $200. Wow, thank you, guys. You're the best. And we hope that our reporters don't let you down. I think they've done a fantastic job so far. Oh, look at that. Wow. 1319.
It's getting up there. Okay, so you can see 1.5 million from there. Like the gap is just, it's getting there. It's
yes,
getting there.
That's right. And once we get to 1.5, a series of excellent people that you are going to love. So the names are great.
I'll find out who it is.
But there's one person we haven't figured out yet, and the closer we get to 1.5, like the more I'm like, it's nerve-wracking. I'm going to have to panic and figure out who to hire in that role.
You can anyway. Let me choose if you want. Mm. I'm willing to bear that burden for you.
You probably aren't, actually. If I gave it to you, you'd be like, oh, God, this is...
Oh, no, I'd definitely pitch.
Okay.
But I'd do it.
Okay, all right. Old Turk writes in, Senator Franken, did you meet with the Russians? Sessions, I cannot answer that question on the grounds of attorney-client privilege.
Frank had made a joke earlier today where he was like, I'm going to have to remind Senator Sessions that the Russian ambassador is a Russian.
Jefferson Smith writes in, quote from Jeff Sessions, I did not recall having sexual relations with that woman. So in a reference to the hypocrisy that we showed. Lisa Adams writes in, I'm going with Cenk on this one. His instinct is damn good and he thinks there's a big fucking Russian deal. Rachel Pickett says, by the way, thank you, Lisa. Rachel Pickett says, or he did deal with Russia that helped him get out of financial trouble. Rachel, which, that's a great point.
That's true. Right? A lot of people think that.
So that's why you have to investigate. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe nothing happened, right? Maybe it was just, hey, help me get elected president by leaking the emails, okay? Or maybe it was the oil deal. Or maybe he had borrowed a lot of money from the Russians, which is another report that we saw
or
during the campaign.
Given a lot of money,
right? And in return for lifting the sanctions, yeah, here you go. You don't owe us that $24 million or $240 million anymore. I don't know what it is, right? So, but it is interesting point by Rachel. You should keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, get us to $1.5 million. We might hire the reporter that figures it all out.
We might. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? Okay. By the way, let me just quickly remind you of another petition that we were doing. And based on one of the our reporters doing some great work. So the DNC, they were having their election for the chair, of course, Tom Perez, Keith Ellison, and others. And they had several ballots. They had two ballots in this case. And the old rules were that you have to release the names of who voted because it is not a secret ballot. And between the two different ballots, so the two sides, Perez and Ellison in that case, can go and try to switch votes, right? Yeah. That's how the system is built. Okay, do you know that after we inquired as to why didn't you release the names, why haven't you released the names of the first round of voting or the second round of voting yet, they have now told us we switched the rules an hour before the vote. Oh, my God.
I'm sure it's nothing shady going on, though.
Okay, so tytnetwork.com/release. So that is a petition to get them to release the names of the voters and who they voted for, as was their original bylines and their bylaws, I should say. And they should release the names in the first round and in the second round immediately. Now, Tom Perez is now the chair of the DNC. This was his vote. Mm-hmm. And maybe he should recuse himself from that decision. they say that the latest I heard right before we got on air is that they're going to let Naomi Const, who is our reporter and one of the very, very few reporters covering this race, putting this kind of pressure on.
Certainly to the extent that she did. I don't think anybody else did.
Right. And hence asking for the answers that we need to find out what happened here. We believe that they're going to let her look at the names on Tuesday of next week.
Yes.
So, by the way, thank you, because your pressure helps to make that happen. Otherwise, if nobody bothers asking the questions and nobody puts on pressure, oh, look at that, we changed the rules at the last second and we never told you, mm-hmm. and we never released the names like we were supposed to, and that's that. That's why we do journalism. So thank you for everybody who helped hire Naomi. You did that through tytnetwork.com/go. Boy, if we had more reporters, there's a lot more to uncover there.
That's true.
Thank you to all of you guys, and go sign that petition. Make sure they release those names.
Okay, so hopefully we're going to get to your favorite story of the day, the CNN story, and I would really like us to be able to do the EPA story that we weren't able to get to yesterday, so we will try to do that. In a surprisingly self-critical report, CNN's Sarah Murray described how CNN earlier this week was duped by Trump into providing hours of positive coverage on him for supposed immigration plans that he apparently had no interest or plans to ever actually pursue, and it worked perfectly. She's going to describe it in this video.
The bait and switch that the president pulled when it came to immigration yesterday. He had this meeting with the anchors. He talked about a path to legal status. Basically, they fed up things that they thought these anchors would like, that they thought would give them positive press coverage for the next few hours. A senior administration official admitted that it was a misdirection play. And you will note that when the president was actually out there speaking to the American public, he didn't talk about a path to legal status. He talked about reforming the legal immigration system so it's merit-based. That means fewer low-skilled workers, fewer people coming on family ties, more people coming on high-skilled visas. That is still closer to a Stephen Miller and Steve Bannon framework of the world than Gang of Eight, who pushed comprehensive immigration reform.
Interesting twist, although it does make you wonder. So we're not supposed to believe what the senior-most official at the lunch says, who then they allowed it to be the president's name, says we're not supposed to believe what they say. Maybe we shouldn't believe what they say.
Okay, can I just answer John King's question? Of course! Of course you shouldn't believe what they say. Now, look, they're saying it about Trump, but actually this reveals, unfortunately, a deeper truth about the mainstream media. So the Trump administration is not the first to pull in CNN anchors or other anchors and tell them, okay, here's where we're going to be headed in this speech or in this press conference or in this new bill that's being proposed. They give them a little taste of it, mm-hmm. then the anchors go out and go, I have access, and here's what I found out, and they report it dutifully, and that's what happened here. They said, hey, we're going to do a path to legal status, And they all went and said pat the legal status. In fact, I should have noted that because I remember the anchor saying that before the speech. And then I listened to the speech. Yeah. I was like, there was no pathway to legal status there. What in the, like, did he choose to leave that out? No, it turns out not only were they lying about it, but now they admit it and kind of brag about it. Like, ha-ha, CNN anchors, you're so stupid. Of course we lied to you so that you could give us positive coverage. And then we decided we're not going to do that. So, yes, the Trump administration is far more brazen than past administrations.
Yeah.
But, John, CNN, all you guys, when Obama pulled you in or Bush pulled you in, you shouldn't have just carte blanche believed them either.
Yeah.
Like, you have this bias and you think that it's like a liberal bias because they keep accusing you of that. And now liberals say it's a conservative bias because you're run by multi-billion dollar corporations. And there's some truth to some of the journalists being liberal and all the corporations being conservative. But what you really have is an establishment bias. That if someone in a position of power tells you something, you think that it is a fact. And you report it as a fact. And now it's like the end of Casablanca where you're shocked, just shocked to find out there's gambling in this establishment, right? Of course the government sometimes lies to you.
Thanks for the spoiler, Jim.
Sorry. And so it's supposed to be your job, CNN, and our job to sort out when the government is telling the truth and when they are lying.
Yes.
And when you assume that they're telling you the truth all the time, well, that's how you get hoodwinked. The only difference between Trump and the other guys is that he's brazen enough to admit that he lied to you. And he lies more. That's true. But Obama lied to you plenty. Bush lied to you plenty. Hello, Iraq war. And you still didn't get it through your thick head that sometimes they're lying to you.
Yeah. Which isn't to say, of course, that you can't report what happens at your special lunch with the president. But you can't then just say, he says pathway to citizenship. To you, Dan. No, you have to like say, okay, does this actually, first of all, acknowledge that he lies constantly, and both he and his representatives often say things that turn out to not actually represent what he plans to do, but especially if the plan he says he's pursuing goes directly contrary to his past rhetoric and past proposals, you have to acknowledge that when you report on it. And if you turn out that you've been burned, the next time you have to acknowledge that too. You report on what he says, you report on what the rumors of his plans are, but you put them in a context that allows people to understand how likely something is to actually be the case.
And let me give CNN a tiny bit of credit in this case, because they actually at least came out and said, we got hoodwinked. You know, he told us this, we reported it, and now it turns out it's not true.
Yeah, they're
now,
doing that.
On the other hand, there are parts of this where the rest of the media continues to be hoodwinked. So one of the other talking points they gave to all the anchors were, Trump's going to speak from his heart tonight. That is a meaningless slogan. It doesn't mean anything. And it's the fact that he's actually reading for a prompter means that he's speaking less from his heart. When he goes impromptu, that's actually the actual Trump. Anyway, they put that talking point to all the anchors. All the anchors said it. You go back and watch all those networks. Before the speech, they said that. And after the speech, people like Gayle King came out and said, oh, yeah, he said he was going to speak from the heart, and he did. No, don't aid and abet his lies. That's a talking point. And yes, other administrations have said talking points like that before, and you should not have aided and abetted them.
Yeah.
You should say what the reality is. They told us because they wanted us to tell you that he's going to speak from his heart. But what does that actually mean, speaking from the heart? And has he not been speaking from the heart this whole time? Like, was he purposely
groomed before?
Right. Before he was just lying or whatever. And for the first time, he's going to be emotional. And how so? And if he really is speaking from the heart, why is this a rare speech where he's using the teleprompter from a speech we know other people wrote?
At long last, he will speak from Steve Bannon's heart.
Yes.
Say that. That actually communicates information.
So whether it's CNN or the other guys, you're supposed to be watchdogs. So from time to time, you are now doing that with Trump. You should have been doing that all along, and you should not go back to sleep when it's not Trump. Whether it's an establishment Republican or an establishment Democratic president, you shouldn't believe what the government says just because the government said it.
Yes.
You're supposed to be the ones who check up on that and hold them to account.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's do EPA.
Yes. Okay, good. Whew, I was worried about that. Donald Trump's assault on our environment revved up into a whole new gear earlier this week with a new executive order and a preview of his upcoming budget and how that might affect some of the departments that deal with the environment. And all of this is aimed at removing some essential environmental protections currently protecting the U.S. public from pollutants in their water, as well as other contaminants that have both national and international consequences. President Trump signed documents on Tuesday directing the EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to review the Obama administration's Waters of the United States rule. In doing so, Trump said he is, quote, paving the way for the elimination of the rule. Now, the Waters of the United States rule has a complicated history, why it's actually necessary, but it has to do with what sorts of waterways, and not just actual rivers and streams, but wetlands and things like that, will be protected by other regulations and protections that the U.S. government and the EPA have. If you eliminate this, you're one step closer to getting rid of the Clean Water Act and doing far more harm to various waterways across the country. Now, the OMB put out this statement, by looking ahead and focusing on clean water, clean air, and other core responsibilities, rather than activities that are not required by law, the EPA will be able to effectively achieve its mission. Now, that is both a lie and horrifying. The lie is that they do not care about clean water or clean air, which is why they are already attacking the EPA's ability to protect those very things. But the second part is true. They want it to focus on those things, perhaps, but not the areas that they're not required by law, which they are going to attempt to argue means regulating carbon emissions and protecting us from the worst excesses of global climate change.
So I will try to simplify what is definitely a very complicated issue. The reason is you've got certain waterways that are clearly important and need to be protected in large rivers, etc. But then there are things that are less clear. Water sources that lead into the rivers, that sometimes lead into the rivers, but sometimes are dry. The things that are, mm-hmm. are they? Is it a pond? Is it a lake? And should it be protected? So now, and by the way, not all of them should be protected. Now, if you're an environmentalist, you've got to be thinking, really, Cenk? That sounds crazy. Why? Because you can do overregulation. So if a farmer, a local farmer, has got his cows, they're out in pasture there, and they're, you know, going to the bathroom near the small pond by their house, you don't need to regulate that. That water doesn't lead anywhere else, and that's overregulation if you do it. And there are some real small farmers that are complaining about some of Obama administration's rules. But they are not the main people complaining. That is, of course, the front that is put out there. The main people who are upset are the massive polluters who want to be able to pollute upstream. So that's just the, you know, that's just the water supply up there. That's not, you don't have to worry about it because it's not part of the main water supply in the main river. But it leads into the main river. Yeah. So if you do massive pollution upstream, it's going to go into all our water. Well, I mean, overregulation.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're really going to regulate? I mean, where else would I put these pollutants? It would cost me a lot of money to move them. If I just dumped them here in your river, you're going to regulate that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we need to regulate to make sure you don't do that. So it is a fine line sometimes. Now, do you think Trump is going to draw that fine line with your best interests in mind?
And by the way, you gave the perfect example. They do talk about those ponds. They do talk about that cows. But the problem there isn't the regulation of the pond. It's what is being regulated from going into it. You can still say the pond needs to be regulated, just not from piss. You can't pour 1,000 gallons of benzene into the pond. How about that? Or nuclear waste. Or runoff from coal, like a coal mining. You can still piss in it if you want to. You just can't do all those things. How about that? That's a compromise.
And so now there's a lot of smart articles and experts talking about how, well, since these laws are so complicated, you have to adjudicate a lot of these bodies of water one at a time. It'll take years, and then you have to justify it and go through this process. So it'll take years for Scott Pruitt, who is in favor of allowing more pollution and what he would call less regulation, so that you can dump those toxins in those waterways. It'll take him years to be able to do this. My guess is no.
Knock out the whole thing all at once.
No, they're just going to say, I'm not going through that process. I now say you can do it.
Yeah.
And people will be outraged for half a day, and then Trump will tweet about something else, and they'll go squirrel, and you're going to try to figure out bodies of water and the kind of benzene you should and shouldn't put in. No, they're just going to steamroll you, dude. I remember all the folks who said, oh, at Standing Rock, there was an environmental impact statement. That takes years to do, and by law you must do it.
Killed it.
Yeah, and that's, I said by law you must, you have to do it because it is true. And they came in and they're like, oh, the law, that's so funny, the law. Right, environmental impact statement. Yeah, okay, you go ahead and drill right away.
Yeah.
And they just did it. And they'll likely do the same thing here.
Do we have time to read just a couple more of these?
Yes.
So in addition to trying to kill the waters of the United States rule, there's other ways that Trump is attacking the EPA and its ability to protect Americans just this week. So some details from plans that have come out. The plan is to slash EPA's staff from its current level of 15,000 to 12,000. Okay, if you really are worried about clean air and clean water, killing off 3,000 jobs at the EPA seems like a weird way to do that. But it goes beyond that. The proposal also dictates cutting the agency's grants to states, including its air and water programs, by 30%, and eliminating 38 separate programs in their entirety. We're not going to go through all of them, but here are a few. Programs designed for zero funding now include grants to clean up brownfields, which are abandoned industrial sites, a national electronic manifest system for hazardous waste, which helps gives us statistics that can then be studied and helps in tracking environmental pollutants, environmental justice programs, they oppose those probably because of the inclusion of the word justice, climate change initiatives, obviously, and funding for Alaskan Native villages. The agency's Office of Research and Development could face a cut of up to 42%. The document eliminates funding altogether for the office's contribution to the U.S. Global Change Research Program, which was set up back in 1989 by George H.W. Bush during a very different time for the Republican Party. And that's what's already happened, okay, or what's planned to happen. We have some speculation about things coming out of the Trump administration that could come out very soon. Trump is apparently likely to sign an executive order next week that lifts a ban on new federal coal mining leases and starts the process of killing other Obama-era initiatives to combat global climate change. A White House official said, rescinding federal coal leasing moratorium is part of the executive order, which has lots of different components, including the Clean Power Plan. Now, we talk about a lot of ways that Donald Trump can really kneecap the various efforts that Obama put into place specifically to deal with climate change. Many of these little changes don't have much to do with climate change, but there is nothing more singularly damaging to the global climate than coal emissions. And the idea that we're going to double down on coal when we've made so much progress as a species in switching from coal to other forms of energy, which are cleaner. Now, I'm not even talking there about geothermal and wave energy and solar and all of that. Even natural gas is far cleaner. Coal is in a league of its own. And that's what they're going to double down on. They'll call it clean or they'll call it whatever. But this is their attempt to squeeze every penny out of the ground, to make every profit possible, even if it means eliminating our future as a species.
Now, if you're a right-winger, I get it. You don't like facts, so you don't want research. You don't want development. So when Trump says, I'm going to cut the research and development budget at the EPA by 42%, you're like, yes, less facts. I love it. God help us if we have facts, we would actually make correct decisions. So I understand that part. But really, you don't want industrial waste sites next to you and your family to be cleaned up? Now, let's look at priorities. He's going to add $54 billion to the defense budget. The defense budget already triples our second closest competitor. So we spend about three times as much as China does. So that's not a big enough lead. We spend 36% of the entire military budget of the world. But that's not a big enough lead. He has to add $54 billion on top. But the EPA, to clean up industrial waste next to you, $8 billion is too much. So he's going to cut a quarter of the money going to the EPA in order to save, what, $2 billion so that he could add $54 billion to defense spending. Now, is it because that defense spending is going to make us safer? No, it allows him to demagogue and so say, I alone can protect you.
Yeah.
And the second thing that it does is it gives money to the defense contractors who donate to Republican politicians. And if your kid's playing near an industrial waste site, too bad. You didn't give me a campaign donation, and neither did your kid. So I'm going to cut the hell out of the EPA that protects you, and I'm going to give giant, unbelievable contracts to the defense contractors who support me. And it's all about the priorities. So when they say they don't have money for the EPA, that is the biggest lie you have ever heard. They have plenty of money, just a question of where they put it. Okay, now we are massively out of time. All right, second hour coming up. First of all, everybody check out youtube.com/thinktank. John and Hannah do a wonderful program there. And then in the next hour, they're now targeting specific immigrants one by one. And if you make political statements against the Trump team and you're undocumented, they will literally remove you from the country. And when I said they will target their political opponents, and I said it from day one, people were like, no, Cenk, that's too speculative. No, political opponents, they're not going to do that. They have already begun. So we will explain when we come back.